Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our crucified and resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. This week in our gospel text, Jesus gives us a nice little parable. A parable about canceling debt. While Jesus certainly has compassion on those with great amounts of debt, the parable really isn't about money. It's much more about you. You see, in this text, there are two people who hear this parable. And really, there are two types of people. There's the Pharisee, who is self-righteous and arrogant and puffed up in himself. And then there is the woman, who is notoriously sinful and modest, humble. The parable goes like this. Jesus said, "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." See, what Jesus does in this parable is he correlates the amount of forgiveness somebody has with the amount of love that they show. The more forgiven you are, the more you love. And consequently, the less forgiven you are, the less you love. And so the amount of love that you have is directly related to how much you need a Savior, how much you need somebody to forgive your debt. Jesus, in telling this parable, he does two things. First, he rebukes the arrogant. Second, he lifts up the modest. Let's look at the Pharisee first, right? The Pharisee. We all know the Pharisees were the elite of society, the holy men. If you wanted to point to somebody as being an upright citizen, you would find a Pharisee and say, "That's the guy. That's the guy you want to be like. He is the best among us." And Jesus recognizes that this man is puffed up in his own self-worth. He thinks he is God's gift to this green earth. And as Jesus notices, this Pharisee doesn't even follow common courtesy. He doesn't mind his P's and Q's. This is something we might not know. You see, during Jesus' time, when you walked into a Jewish household, there were particular customs you were supposed to follow. First, you would meet them in the entrance and give them a greeting, a salutation, and give them a kiss to welcome them into your home. Next, you would send for the servants and have them bring a basin filled with water, maybe a towel, that they might wash their dusty, travel-worn feet. Next, you'd grab some of the common house oil that you had and, you know, pour a few drops on their head to anoint them and welcome them into your home. But this well-to-do Pharisee, this upright, upstanding citizen, doesn't show Jesus any of these courtesies. Why? This Pharisee doesn't believe he has any use for Savior Jesus. After all, when a woman who is notorious for sin walks into the house and then does all these things for Jesus, where's the Pharisee? He's got his nose held high. If you were a prophet, Jesus, you would know exactly what sort of woman you're allowing to touch you. No, the Pharisee doesn't even offer Jesus common courtesy. Where does it come from? Where do we see genuine love in this parable? In this text? It's the woman. This notorious sinner, one who was rejected and dejected by society. She cleanses Jesus' feet, not with a basin filled with water, but with her tears. because she knew who she was, a sinner. Which when you truly understand who you are as sinner, it cannot help but bring tears to your eyes. All the more when you realize what a gracious and merciful Savior we have who forgives all those sins. Tears of bitterness mixed with tears of joy that wash Jesus' feet. What's more, but then instead of having a towel, she takes her hair. How degrading. Take part of you that's supposed to be beautiful. Take part of you, especially as a woman, right? Take a part that's supposed to be so grand and use it as a towel to wash dirty, dusty, travel-worn feet. What's more is then she ceaselessly brings Jesus' dirty feet to her lips. The dirtiest part of somebody in Jesus' day would have been their feet. Because a lot of times there wasn't any animal to ride from here to there. You just had to walk. And when you're wearing sandals, your feet get dirty. But she was willing to humble herself enough to kiss the dirtiest part of Jesus. She doesn't have any common oil with her. But she did have a treasured flask filled with oil. And she doesn't put it on Jesus' head, which is, you know, a place of honor, the head. But she puts it on those dirty feet. She doesn't use a word. She says absolutely nothing. But what she does do is she hears Jesus' words to her. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. What's the difference? What's the difference between this Pharisee and this notoriously sinful woman? The truth is that it's not their need for Jesus. Whether the Pharisee is ready to admit it, whether anybody in this world is ready to admit it or not, we all need Jesus. We all need a Savior. It's not like we have a choice. We need Him to live a perfect life. We need Him to die a perfect death. We need Him to shed His blood, and we need Him to rise from the tomb. Because we need forgiveness. And so it's not their need that separates them. It's how they perceive their need. You see, the Pharisee, he perceives that he has no need of a Savior at all. He thinks he's pretty good. But this woman, she can't deny her sin. I'm sure there are people, you know, a notorious sinner. Everybody knows. Everybody whispers behind her back. Everybody's telling each other what all these horrible things that she's done that are so outward and apparent in society. She can't deny it. She knows who she is. She is a sinner through and through. And without a Savior, there is no help whatsoever. She knows she needs Jesus entirely. And so what about you? Some days we live in arrogance. Some days we think that we're God's gift to this green earth. That somehow we're awesome. Pride. Vanity. It's in those days that you should go and read maybe the book of Ecclesiastes. Figure out that nothing really is useful unless God blesses it. Focus on the requirements that God places on His people. That means you. Through His law, through the Ten Commandments. Because what will God's Word do when you study the law? It will bring you low. It will smash your pride, smash your arrogance, show you that you are not but a worm. Because other days we do live in that mindset. We live in modesty. Like the woman in our text, we do. We feel like a worm, rejected, dejected, Those days you realize that you are nothing without Jesus, and that it is by His grace alone that you receive anything at all in this entire world. And it is in those moments that where do you need to turn? But God's Word. What does God's Word tell us? Well, this week in God's Word we hear, "Therefore I tell you, your sins, which are many, are forgiven." It's true. And it's for you. Jesus rebukes the sin of the arrogant, especially when they think they have some sort of holiness or goodness in and of themselves. Case in point is our Pharisee. And Jesus forgives the sins of those who desire forgiveness, especially when they don't think they deserve it. Case in point is this woman in our text. We all need forgiveness, and we should all desire it too. We should all desire a Savior, desire the forgiveness that Jesus so wants to give us, even now. The question is, do you? Do you desire the Lord's forgiveness? Do you desire what Jesus offers? Whether you know it or not, you've really kind of already answered that question. How do I know? Why else would you be here? Why else would you come to God's house? Simply in your attendance, you confess that you desire Jesus' forgiveness, that you desire His blood to pour over you, that you desire His death to be your death, that you desire His resurrection to be your resurrection. Maybe, like the woman, you haven't sacrificed your tears or your hair or your kiss or your precious ointment. But in being here on Sunday morning, you've already sacrificed your time. You've already sacrificed your sleep. You've already sacrificed so much just to come and hear the words of the Lord. Your faith displays itself in that sacrifice. What's more is you might go home and continually sacrifice. Opening your Bible, it takes sacrifice. Sacrificing your time to spend 30 minutes with St. Paul. To spend 30 minutes recounting the story of Jesus Christ. To spend 30 minutes learning about the promise of a Savior from the Old Testament. It's a sacrifice. What about prayer? Spending time maybe before a meal, even if it's only 15 seconds, to say the common table prayer. You sacrifice. You wait to eat that you might recognize and thank God for the wonderful things He's given to you. Sacrificing 15 minutes of sleep, that way you can thank God for the faithful end to your day. Sacrifice. Love. My friends, you wouldn't do any of these things unless you had been given faith. Unless you first heard and received from Jesus Himself. And so you have. And so you do even today. Because Jesus has shed His blood for you. Jesus was crucified for you. Jesus was raised back to life for you. Your self-sacrificing action, your love, it flows out of His love for you. We love because He first loved us. Because He first forgave us. Because He first gave us everything. To give you an example, think of it this way. The sun doesn't shine because there is light outside. There is light outside because the sun is shining. You see, that's what it means to be a Christian. It means we are nothing without Jesus. Do you have pride? Do you have arrogance? Are you puffed up in yourself? Then thanks be to God that Jesus loves you enough to bring you His word of law, to tell you to get over yourself. that without him, you are absolutely nothing. And if you believe that, if God's word has already brought you low, then know that you are forgiven. That in Jesus, you have everything. Forgiveness, life, salvation. I don't know which person you more identify with today. Maybe you are arrogant and prideful and puffed up. Or maybe your sin is right in front of your face and you just can't deny it. But this is why Jesus preaches this parable to you today. That you might be forgiven. He gives it in three ways. One, we've already done. Right? Confession and absolution. We already confessed. I, a poor, miserable sinner. And what does God tell you through the humble voice of a pastor? He says, your sins are forgiven. Not on Pastor Dunlop's authority. On the authority of Jesus Christ. What's more is we have this baptismal font up here in the front, right? Many of you maybe even have been baptized in this very font. And what does God promise? He says the water combined with God's word connects you to Jesus Christ. His death is your death. His resurrection is your resurrection. Your sins, they're washed away, left there forever. You have eternal life. And especially on this Sunday, we have yet to come to this altar and bow our heads and receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ on our tongues, in our mouths, to bring the humble and restore them, to bring those who are lowly at the feet of Jesus and lift them up, to lift you up. For it is there that you receive the blood Jesus shed from the cross. It is there that you eat the very resurrected body of your Savior. Do you desire it? Do you desire Jesus? Because there's two options. You can either think you've done pretty well in life. You can be arrogant and puffed up and haughty. Or do you desire for Jesus to forgive you every single sin you've ever committed? In the words of Jesus, I tell you, your sins, which are many, are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.